Guten Tag, thank you for joining us in this year in Likut HaSichos, part of Project Likut HaSichos. Today we're going to learn Chelek Tezayin, Volume 16, Parshas Truma, Sicha Aleph. The first Sicha on Parshas Truma, this week's Parsha. This Sicha revolves around the first Rashi on the Parsha, which is the second Pasuk. The first Pasuk begins, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemar, Hashem spoke to Moshe. And then Hashem describes the mitzvah of the Yidden contributing, the Jews contributing to the construction of the Mishkan. The Pasuk says, Dabra al b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, v'yikhu li truma, and they should take for me truma. And the Pasuk says, they should take a truma from everybody who's feeling generous. From them, you should take a truma for Hashem. And as the Chazal teach us, that the word truma is mentioned three times over here, and therefore we learn that there's three separate trumas. And we'll talk about the three trumas a little later on in the Sicha. But this is the mitzvah of the Yidden contributing for the Mishkan. Rashi, the first Rashi on the Parsha, quotes three words from the Pasuk, V'yikhu li truma, you should take truma for me. And Rashi explains two words, li, lishmi, which means that li, the word li in the Pasuk for me, Rashi is explaining means lishmi, for my sake. In other words, that when we give it, you should have in mind that we're giving it for the sake of Hashem. Now, usually, when Rashi comes and explains something, usually you would think that it means something else. When Rashi has to come and explain, don't think it means A, really it means B. Or sometimes the Pasuk itself has something which is questionable. What exactly does the word mean? Rashi has to come and tell us what it means. But usually Rashi is usually bothered by something, and that causes Rashi to tell us what he's saying. Over here, Rashi comes and explains to us what the word li means. Li means to have in mind, lishmi, for the sake of Hashem. What's bothering Rashi? Why does Rashi need to explain that the word li means lishmi? What's bothering Rashi that tells Rashi that there needs to be something more explained in the Pasuk? So the Rebbe is going to suggest here numerous explanations from the different Mefarshim, from different commentaries, how they explain what Rashi's question is and what Rashi answers. And the Rebbe is going to reject two different explanations from the Mefarshim. And then eventually the Rebbe is going to give his own explanation, explaining to us what Rashi is bothered by and what Rashi's answer to his question is. The first answer from the Mefarshim that Rashi brings is that the word li literally means to me, to give something to Hashem. And the Mefarshim say that Rashi's bothered, the commentaries say that Rashi's bothered by interpreting the word li to Hashem for two reasons. Number one, how could you say that you're giving something to Hashem or that Hashem needs something? Giving something to Hashem implies that A, Hashem doesn't have it before you gave it to him, and B, he needs something and that's why he asks you to do the giving. When it comes to Hashem, Hashem owns everything. Everything belongs to Hashem. Hashem aretz u'malaya, Hashem owns the whole world. So if that's the case, how could you say that Hashem needs something? How could you say that Hashem doesn't have something and you can give something to him? That's question one. And question two that Rashi is bothered by is that the word li means to give something, to bring something close to somebody else. To bring something close to somebody else is usually when the person is distant. Distance is measured physically. Physically, a person can be distant from something else. So you could say, give it to him, bring it close to him. When it comes to Hashem, Hashem is everywhere. And if Hashem is everywhere, he's not a body. And therefore, you can't describe giving something to him in the terms of bringing something close to Hashem. And because the Rashi is bothered by these two questions of the word li, giving something to Hashem, therefore Rashi comes and explains that li doesn't mean to Hashem, it means lishmi, for the sake of Hashem. This is one explanation in the commentaries, what's bothering Rashi, and why Rashi has to explain that li means lishmi, for my sake. The Rebbe says, on this interpretation, there's a few questions. Question number one is, in the words that Rashi quotes from the Pasuk that Rashi quotes is V'yikhu li truma. They should give for me truma. According to this, the problem is mainly in the words li, not so much in the words V'yikhu, not so much in the words truma. V'yikhu and truma don't contribute to the question of Rashi or to the answer of Rashi. The question is, how could you give something li to Hashem? And the answer is, you're giving it for the sake of Hashem. So Rashi only should have quoted the word li and nothing else. Second question is, very often in the Torah, earlier in the Torah, we found numerous times a person giving something to Hashem, and we don't find that Rashi has to come and explain that this expression is questionable. The Torah tells us that Avram promised Hashem that everything that you give me, Aser Asren Ulach, I'm going to give Meiser. Not Avram, sorry, Yaakov promised Hashem that he's going to give Meiser from everything that Hashem gives him. So the words in the Pasuk says, Aser Asren Ulach, I'm going to give Meiser to you. Rashi's not bothered by giving Meiser to Hashem. Obviously, the reason is because we understand that just because we're giving something to Hashem doesn't mean that Hashem is a body, and doesn't mean that Hashem needs anything. It doesn't mean that Hashem is lacking. So obviously, this question wouldn't be a question for Rashi. So this will take care of commentary interpretation number one. Now, you might want to answer that it's hard to compare our pasuk v'ikuli truma to the other example of aser asrenu lach, because in the words aser asrenu lach, we're not really describing sanctifying something. We're just saying we're describing the giving. We're not so much describing the sanctifying. One may say, you might want to answer and say that our pasuk is different than the pasuk aser asren ulach or kadosh li, because in those psukim, in aser asren, we're describing that the thing that we're giving is becoming meiser, it's becoming holy. In the pasuk kadosh li that we say when we put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, kadosh li kol b'chor, sanctify to me all the firstborn. So in that pasuk, we're describing that the li, the giving to Hashem, is kadosh, we're making something holy. So over there, it makes sense to say that we're making something holy for Hashem. But in our pasuk, we're not describing making anything holy. We're just saying give. V'yikhuli truma, give for Hashem truma. And over here, when it just describes giving, it doesn't really make sense to say that we're giving something to Hashem, because Hashem doesn't need anything. You can't actually give something to Him. And that's why Rashi has to come and explain v'yikhuli, because v'yikhuli tells us that the giving is not to Hashem, it's for Hashem, Hashem's sake. And it also would explain to us why the word v'yikhu Rashi quotes from the pasuk. Because Rashi's question is mainly on the v'yikhu, on the giving part, not so much on the sanctifying part. And the giving part is the part that Rashi is bothered by, and that's why he quotes the word v'yikhu. What's the problem? The problem is, if that was the case, if that's what's bothering Rashi in the pasuk, Rashi would have a very simple answer. The answer would be that Rashi would interpret the v'yikhu means to sanctify something. In other words, similar to the other cases where it says giving something to Hashem. And the reason why it makes sense is because we're talking about sanctifying something. So in our case, where the Torah doesn't mention the sanctifying part, and that's why we would have a question in our pasuk, the simple answer would have been, say that in our case also we're sanctifying it. Why would Rashi have to come and introduce a new idea that li means l'shmi, if that was Rashi's question? So this is interpretation number one from the Mefarshim that Rashi rejects, that the question is not how can we give something to Hashem. That is not a question. The fact that we give something to Hashem is mentioned earlier, it's mentioned later. That's not an issue. Other commentaries say that the problem that Rashi has is a different problem that the Medrash talks about. The Medrash talks and explains that the word in the Torah says, the word that the Torah uses is v'yikhu, which means to take something. The Torah is describing giving something to Hashem. So instead of saying v'yikhu, you should take, the Torah should have said, you're giving, v'yitnu. And that's the question. In other words, that the question is, the pasuk should have said v'yitnu and not v'yikhu. What's the answer that Rashi's saying? According to this, the answer is that the reason why the Torah says v'yitnu and v'yikhu, not v'yitnu, why does the Torah say to take and not to give? Because the Rashi is alluding to the answer of the Medrash. The Medrash answers, why does the Torah say v'yikhu li truma? Because when a person gives truma, in essence what he's doing is, oisi atan loikhim v'yikhu li, you take Hashem. In other words, that when a yid gives ma'aser, gives truma, he's taking Hashem. When he does the mitzvah, he's taking Hashem by doing it. In other words, because we're bringing the Shechina amongst the Yidden, amongst the people, when we do the mitzvahs, truma that Hashem tells us to do. Now, so why does Rashi use the words li l'shmi to explain this? Because li l'shmi means that when a person does this mitzvah of giving truma, the person is v'yikhu li, the person is in essence taking Hashem's name. We find other places in the Torah, when the Torah wants to describe that we're bringing Hashem into our lives, we use the expression that Hashem's name is called upon something. For example, we have in Birchas Kohanim, we say that v'samu es shmi al b'nei Yisrael, that the Kohanim are supposed to place Hashem's name upon the Yidden. In other words, that when we call something with Hashem's name, that's a description of saying that Hashem is there, close to the person, and giving the bracha to the person. So in this case also, when the Torah says v'yikhu li, the Torah says v'yikhu instead of v'yitnu, you're taking Hashem and you're not giving. Taking Hashem means you're taking li l'shmi, you're taking Hashem's name. You're taking Hashem's name and you're putting it upon yourself. V'yikhu li truma. The problem with this explanation is that if this is what Rashi means by v'yikhu li truma li l'shmi, if that's what Rashi is alluding to, Rashi would say it clearly. Rashi would say it a little bit more elaborately and explain to us what he means by li l'shmi. He would explain to us that the l'shmi, for my sake, that he refers to over here, is similar to the l'shmi of v'samu es shmi al b'nei Yisrael, where the Kohanim are placing Hashem's name on the Yidden. Over here, Rashi doesn't explain that. All Rashi says is two simple words, li l'shmi. And therefore, we have to assume that if Rashi doesn't tell us more, we have to go with the words of Rashi that li l'shmi means literally l'shmi. L'shmi meaning for the sake of Hashem. And if that's the case, we come back to the original question, A, what's bothering Rashi? And B, how exactly is Rashi explaining, what's Rashi's answer? Now, before we get into the answer of Rashi, the Rebbe first gives us sort of an introduction. The Rebbe prefaces something which is an interesting thing that the Rebbe alludes to numerous other sichos, but it's an interesting thing. Sometimes when we look in the Chumash, we find that Rashi quotes things from the Pasuk and explains them out of order. For those who remember, back in Chelek Yud Aleph, in Chelek Yud Gimel, we had such a sicha at the end of Parshas Nasoi, where Rashi interpreted things out of order, and the Rebbe has a whole explanation why Rashi goes out of order of the Pasuk. Not like other commentaries who just say that it's a mistake and they reprint the Chumash. Rather, the Rebbe goes and explains that when Rashi writes something out of order, it's for a reason. So, in our case, the Pasuk says, V'yikhuli truma, and there's two Rashis on these words. The first Rashi says, V'yikhuli truma, which is our Rashi that we're talking about. Where Rashi interprets, li means l'shmi, for my sake. There's a second Rashi, the following one, immediately afterwards, where Rashi quotes only the third of those three words. Not v'yikhuli truma, Rashi quotes only the word truma. And Rashi explains to us that the word truma means to set something aside. Setting aside from your money as a contribution is known as truma. In this case, the word truma means setting something aside for Hashem. Now that interpretation of the word truma, Rashi tells us only after he tells us li l'shmi. In other words, first he explains v'yikhuli truma li l'shmi, and only afterwards he tells us what the word truma actually means in this case. What does that tell us? What that tells us is that in order to understand the first one, v'yikhuli truma, V'yikhuli truma is irrelevant. Rashi's interpretation of li l'shmi is not dependent on what he's about to say in a minute. Because if this Rashi would need to have the second one, the interpretation of truma, said first, Rashi first would have said the word truma and explained to us what truma means, and only afterwards he would explain to us what li l'shmi means. In this case, Rashi doesn't do that. Rashi goes v'yikhuli truma, li l'shmi, and only afterwards he explained to us what truma means. Why is this important for us to know? Why is it important for us to know that the word truma Rashi only explains afterwards? The reason is as follows. Because when we learn the Pasuk tells us over here three words. The Pasuk says, V'yikhu, Li, and Truma. And when you read the Pasuk, V'yikhu, Li, Truma, you would think that the word Li is part of the same sentence, part of the same meaning as V'yikhu, Li, and Truma. V'yikhu means to take. Li means for me, to Hashem. Truma, a contribution. You would think that the Pasuk is telling us that you have to give something for Hashem. Rashi over here is coming to tell us that that's not the translation of the word Li. In other words, it's not the interpretation, it's not the understanding of what V'yikhu Li Truma is coming to say. V'yikhu Li Truma is not coming to say that we need to give a Truma to Hashem. How do we know? Because the Torah puts the word Li in between the words V'yikhu and Truma. And again, we don't even know what Truma means yet. But it's not important for what we need to know. It's not important to know how Rashi interprets the word truma. And the Rebbe goes on to explain what he's alluding to here. When we translate each one of these words individually, let's focus on each word individually. First v'yikhu, and then truma. When we learn the word v'yikhu, v'yikhu means to take something. Taking means to remove something from one domain to another. Which means, in a physical sense, it means removing something, let's say, from one house to another house, from one room to another room, to bring something home. It means physically moving something from one domain to another. In the context of truma, what that means is, it means we're taking something from one domain, the domain of a person, and we're putting it in the domain of Hashem. The thing is moving from my place, from my personal possession, and it's moving to the domain of Hashem. That's what the word v'yikhu means. The word truma means one of two things. At different places in the Torah, the word truma means different things depending on what the context is. Sometimes the word truma, in our case, for example, truma means to set something aside for Hashem. In other words, until now the thing belongs to me, and I set it aside, then now it becomes hektish, it becomes holy for Hashem. I set it aside, it's not mine anymore, it becomes holy, it becomes Hashem's. Other places, in other contexts, the word truma means to raise something up, to lift something up. When the Torah wants to describe certain parts of the sacrifices, the korban, that have to be raised in the Mishkan, the Torah says, shoik hatruma. Which means the shoik is the thigh that has to be raised in the Mishkan. They would have this whole raising thing over there. The Pasuk calls it shoik hatruma. Truma means to raise physically. Harama means to lift something up. So truma could either mean to set something aside, or it could mean to raise something. If in the context of the donations, truma means to raise, what's the word raise mean over here? It means that the person is raising something up from its previous state. It doesn't mean physically raising it to a higher place physically. What it means is conceptually, that until now, the thing that I owned belongs to a person, an individual. It's chulin, it belongs to me. And now I'm raising it up to a new level. Instead of belonging to me, now it belongs to Hashem. We find earlier in the Torah, when it comes to the field of Ephraim, the Ba'ar Samachpela, that Avram purchased from Ephraim, the Torah uses the words, it says that the Vayokom Hasada, that the field got up and moved to Avraham. And Rashi explains, what does it mean that the field got up? Doesn't mean the field doesn't stand and go anywhere. What it means is that the field had a raise in stature. Until now, it belonged to a simple guy like Ephraim. And now it went and it belongs to a guy like Avraham. So in other words, when we speak about the transfer of property from one person to another, we can use the expression raise when the thing is going up in stature from one person to another, from one owner to another. When the second owner is somebody who's more special, holy, etc., we can use the expression truma to raise, to go up in the context of that transfer. So in our case, when it comes to Terumah, we're talking about donating to the construction of the Mishkan. Technically, either one of these interpretations of Terumah could work. Either Terumah separate, or Terumah to raise something. So therefore, if the Torah would have written the word V'yikhu and Terumah, let's say the Torah would have skipped the word Li, if the Torah would have just said V'yikhu and the Torah would say the word Terumah, everything would make sense. V'yikhu, Terumah means to set aside something that belongs to you, and make it truma, make it something holy, make it something which either has a raise or set it aside. Whichever interpretation of truma we're going to use, the Torah is telling us that a yid has to set something aside and donate it to the Beis HaMikdash and make it hektish. We would understand that the thing right now is moving from a private domain, from a private person's property, to Hashem's domain, to Hashem's property, to hektish. If that's the case, what does the word li come to say? The word Li over here is not describing giving it to Hektish. It's not describing making it holy. Why? Because the word Li, giving, making something holy, is completely covered in the first two words, V'yikhu and Truma. The ownership, the domain, the place, that until now it was in my place and now it's going to Hashem's place. And the word Truma is describing the holiness in it, that it became a holy place, it went to Hashem now. Even if we were to interpret the word Truma as being set aside, it means the same thing, that I'm setting something aside for Hashem. But the word Li in this case wouldn't be necessary for us to understand who the thing is going to. Says the Rebbe, once we understand that the word V'yikhu and Truma already were covering the entire subject, that the word Li is extra, now we need to understand, why does the Torah use the word Li? What does the word Li over here coming to say? That's why Rashi comes and explains that the word Li is teaching us another halacha. That the word Li over here means not that the thing becomes Hashem's, becomes hektish, that we have to give it over to the construction of the Mishkan, but the word Li is coming to teach us something else. That in addition to giving something to hektish, one also has to give. The giving needs to be done with the intent. That when a person gives it, we have to give it with the intent that this thing is being given lishma, for the sake of giving it to Hashem. The giving needs to be for the sake of Hashem. The Rebbe includes here an extra section which is related to something in halacha. And I'll just try to explain this briefly, so we understand what the Rebbe is saying. In halacha, there's a discussion that goes as follows. If somebody sanctifies an animal as a carbon, we know that once an animal was sanctified as a carbon, it has to be given only for the carbon that it was given to. Let's say somebody sets aside an animal and says, with this animal, I'm going to purchase a particular carbon. So then, obviously, the carbon that it has to go only goes to the carbon that it was given to, and I'm not allowed to switch it for any other carbon. I'm not allowed to switch something even from, and halacha says, even kachim kalam to kachim chamurim, even to kachim chamurim. In other words, even from a lower level of holy carbon to a higher level of holy carbon, I'm also not allowed to switch an animal. Question is, what happens if somebody donates something for use in the Beis HaMikdash, for construction of something in the Beis HaMikdash? Let's say somebody gives money, and the money is for Bedek HaBayis. Bedek HaBayis means to fix anything in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say the Mizbeach needs construction work, and a guy gives money, and he says, I'm giving $5,000 to fix the Mizbeach. So now the question is, that money that the person gives, is the halacha that we're only allowed to use the money for the thing that the guy gave, or does it go into the general fund that can be used for anything? So here there's a machloikis between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says that if somebody gave money to fix up a particular part of the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal is the example that the Rambam gives, So the money that the person gives needs to be used only for that particular construction and nothing else. The Ravid comes and he says, no such thing. Only when it comes to the Mizbeach, when it comes to contributing for animals on the Mizbeach, for Karbonos, then we say that a carbon is not allowed to be switched. But when it comes for other donations, as long as you give it for the sake of giving it to Hashem, there's no difference anymore. You can use it for whatever you want. Rashi's opinion in the Gemara, when Rashi learns that din in the Gemara, Rashi interprets similar to the Ravid. He explains that we're only not allowed to switch something when it comes to the Mizbeach. When it comes to somebody who donated something towards the Mizbeach, then we're not allowed to switch something within the Karbanis itself. But if somebody donated something for construction of a specific thing in the Beis HaMikdash, then we're allowed to use it for anything that we need in the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't have to go to the specific thing that the person gave. From Rashi over here in the Chumash, it seems as though Rashi is explaining that there has to be a general giving l'shmi for the sake of Hashem, but the general giving l'shmi is not for the sake of a specific piece of work in the Mishkan. The giving is only for Hashem. And once we give something for Hashem, then it's allowed to be used for whatever we want in the Beis HaMikdash. So seemingly this Rashi over here goes hand in hand with the way Rashi understands in the Halacha in the Beis HaMikdash with regards to contributions, that the main intent, the kavana that the person has, is not for the sake of something specific for construction in the Beis HaMikdash, but rather there's a general lashmi, giving something, donating something for the sake of use in the Beis HaMikdash, giving something to Hashem, and that is sufficient. Now, so what are we left with? According to this, what we're left with is that if the Torah would say v'yikhu truma, it would mean give truma to Hashem, donate something for construction of the Mishkan. The Torah comes and adds the word li, and li tells us that this giving that a person does has to be done with the proper intent. Now, the Rebbe says we're still not settled. Why? Because there's still two questions that we have on this. What are the two questions? Question number one is, we know that there are three different types of contributions that the Yidden gave in construction of the Mishkan. One contribution was the machtzis shekel, the half a shekel that were used for the adonim. The adonim were the bases under the pillars. They were the bases that held the walls all around, and they were made out of silver. So the adonim, the bases of the bases of the krushim, they were made out of silver, and they were one of the turmois, one of the contributions. Machtzis hashekel was given only for the adonim. There was a second contribution, which was machtzis hashekel for the mizbeach, which means that there were communal karbonis that were brought every day, every Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, the whole list of things that were brought from a communal fund that all the Jews would contribute to, and this is the machtzis hashekel that the Jews would continue to give in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. Every year, every Jew gives a machtzis hashekel, and that machtzis hashekel goes towards all the korbanos for the Mizbeach. The third donation that the Jews gave wasn't silver, it was all sorts of materials, and that was used for construction of the Mishkan. That was the 15 things that the Parsha describes of here. Gold, silver, copper, this kind of wool, and that kind of wool, and this skins, and that skins, besamim, and oil, and precious stones. All the things that the Torah describes over here, that was the third contribution. Now Rashi over here seems to say that the contribution of this parsha has to be done l'shmi, with the right intent. You have to have kavana when you give it. You're giving it for the sake of Hashem. Says the Rebbe, the problem is that in this parsha we speak about three different contributions. Now, the contribution of the machtzis hashekel, the halacha is that the contribution of the machtzis hashekel is allowed to be taken from a person against his will, which means, let's say somebody refuses to contribute, so the Beis Din is allowed to go and forcibly take money from somebody in order to ensure his contribution to this machtzis hashekel for the korbanos. Says the Rebbe, if this is a contribution which is allowed to be taken from a person forcibly, how could you say that he's giving it l'shma? L'shma means that he's giving it with the right intent. Here's a guy who's not even interested in giving. If you ask him, he won't even give it. He doesn't even agree to give it. So how could we say that a forcible giving is being given with an intent? That's question number one. Question number two is, there's a question that we're still left with. Some of the Mefarshim earlier explained that Rashi's problem in the Pasuk is that the Torah should have said V'yitnu instead of V'yikru. The Rebbe says that that's not Rashi's problem. Rashi doesn't have that problem in the Pasuk. In other words, Rashi over here is not coming to explain that. But when we learn the Pasuk, we have that question. When we learn the Pasuk, we have that question. Why does the Torah say v'yikhu to take and not to give? If the Torah is telling us over that there's a mitzvah to give truma, it should have said give, not take. So Rashi may not be coming to answer this question, but when we learn the Pasuk, we have this question. And Rashi doesn't seem to answer it. So the Rebbe gives a beautiful explanation and explains that really these two questions that we just said, really one of them answers the other. And the Rebbe explains beautifully like this. If the Torah here is speaking to the giver, that the giver has to be giving with the right intent, then you can have a question and you can say, if the giver has to give with the right intent, how could I give with the right intent if I'm giving something forcibly against my will? That doesn't work. Says the Rebbe, but over here, who's the Torah speaking to? The Yikru. The Torah is speaking to those people who are responsible to do the collection, the ones who are taking the money from the individual. Says the Torah, Rashi's telling us, the Yikru, the ones who are taking, Li Lishmi. The ones who are taking, they have to have kavana, they have to have in mind. The ones who are taking, they're the ones that need to have in mind that they're taking it for the sake of giving it to Hashem. And that's why, A, the Torah doesn't say V'yitnu, the Torah says V'yikru, because over here we're speaking about the people who are taking, and the Torah can also say that we're taking it, Lishmi, for the sake of Hashem, because the ones who are taking do need to be taking something for the sake of Hashem. Okay, so that's the answer that the Rebbe says, and this answer would make sense in the halachic realm. This is the answer. In other words, when we learn the halacha and you say, what's the Torah telling us? What's the mitzvah of the pasuk? The mitzvah of the pasuk is that the one who's doing the collection has to collect and take it lishmi, for the sake of Hashem. The problem is that at the end of the person, the one who's giving is still not giving with any intent. The one who's giving is still not giving with any intent. Who's the one who's having the intent of here? The one who's having the intent of here is only the one who's doing the taking. So it's hard to, so the Rebbe is questioning and says, it's hard to ascribe kavana to something when the one who's giving it, who's the main person of here, the truma, the one who's giving the contribution, is not giving it with intent. It's hard to ascribe kavana and lishmi, that the person is having intent, when the person who's giving is not even interested in giving. Even more, I mean, the question is really much more than that. The question is not how you can ascribe, the question really is why. If the person who's giving does not have to have intent or able to do it against his will, so why is it important that for the giver, it's okay if you give it against your will? But the one who's taking, he has to have kavana. The question is why? If the one who's giving it is giving it against his will, why should we care about the one who's taking it? Now, seemingly you can say that, no, that the one who's taking has to have the proper kavana lishmi. Why? So the Rebbe quotes here, Maimer Chazal, the Gemara says that when somebody is a parnas means somebody who's responsible to collect money for tzedakah. In other words, a parnas is somebody who's collecting money for tzedakah, but also somebody who's responsible for the needs of community. In other words, somebody who's in a position of authority over others. So the Gemara says, Al yatil eimu ala tzibur, shaloi l'shem shemayim. Somebody who's in a position of authority should not impose his authority on other people, not for the sake of heaven. In other words, that somebody who's imposing his authority on others, it has to be clear that he's not doing it for his own agenda. He's not doing it because he's strong and he's doing it because this is what's needed, this is what Hashem needs, and he's doing it only for the right purpose. So one can say, it's true that I'm the one who's giving, I don't have to have intent, but the one who's collecting, at least he should do it with the right intent. Why? So the person shouldn't resent giving it to him. Why? So it should be clear that he's not doing it for any other purpose, he's doing it only for Hashem. The problem is that at the end of the day, how does the truma become lishmi? It's not that the truma is becoming lishmi. It's only a side thing that we want the guy not to have any other side, any other penis. We don't want him to have any other personal reasons why he's collecting the money. So we say that he has to have lishmi. But is that a reason to call the halacha that the Torah should say that it has to be done lishmi? The Torah is being given, the truma is being given lishmi. The truma has to be taken lishmi. It's not so important that the truma itself should be taken lishmi, seemingly. So why would the Torah make such emphasis, li lishmi, that the Torah needs to give it? That the Torah needs to say it by the giving of the truma. So the answer to this, the Rebbe begins to explain over here, beautifully, the difference between sur meira and asei toiv. And the Rebbe explains that in a person's avoida, we are here to make a dira for Hashem. When it comes to karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash is the place where we create, the beginning of the place where we create a dira for Hashem in this world, a home for Hashem in this world. And Chassidus explains that we want to make a home for Hashem in a world, there's two steps. One step is sur meira, which means not to do anything bad, which in the context of dira b'tachtoyinim means to clear out first the lichluch to shemutz. And after we take out the shmutz, then we replace it with beautiful things. And that's sur meira and asei toiv. First, the person has to have the sur meira to make sure that we don't do any averos, and others to clear out anything negative. And then we have the actual dir b'tachtoinim is done. Bringing Hashem's shechina into this world is done by doing mitzvahs. In other words, mitzvah loisaseh means that we're just making sure not to do anything wrong. We're not bringing the Shekhinah through a mitzvah loisaseh. Bringing Hashem's Shekhinah into this world, into physical things, is by doing an active mitzvah. Not by not doing something passively. By actively doing, that's when we do a dira for Hashem is created through Asay Toiv. Now, because the dira primarily is created through the Asay Toiv, that's why there's a difference in a person's intent, Chassidus explains, between Surmira and Asay Toiv. Surmira means don't do anything wrong, don't get in the way. Don't get in the way is not the avoida yet, that's only the preparation for the avoida. It means don't bring any schmutz, don't do anything wrong. So Surmira, because it's only the preparation for the avoida, it's not the avoida itself yet. So therefore, in the world of Surmira, it's not so important what the person's intent is. Let's say a person doesn't do an avera, and the reason why he doesn't do an avera is because he's scared of getting punished. So it's a very selfish reason not to do an avera. It's not lishma. We're not doing it because Hashem said so. We're doing it because we want to do it. But that doesn't take away from the surmira. At the end of the day, you didn't do the avera, and because the surmira is only a preparation for the dira, for the actual avoda, it's okay if the person doesn't have the right intent. What about when it comes to the asay toiv? When it comes to the asay toiv, that's when we're actively creating a home for Hashem. But if we do the mitzvah for our own purposes, not l'shem shemayim, we do it for ourselves, selfishly, so then are we doing a home for Hashem? We're doing something for ourselves. So then we can't say that the person is making a dir b'tachtonim. So therefore the l'shmi, the kavana that a person has in his avoida, is primarily in the world of asay toiv. That's why the Gemara says that a person should always do Torah and mitzvahs, even shaloi l'shma. And the Gemara gives a reason why. Because mitoch shaloi l'shma, ba l'shma. Because from shaloi l'shma, you're going to come to doing something l'shma. The Gemara doesn't say you should do it because who cares if it's shaloi l'shma? No, we care that it's shaloi l'shma. Shaloi l'shma is not the right way to do it. We say you should do it anyways because eventually you'll get to l'shma. But when it comes to doing mitzvahs, actively doing mitzvahs, dir de l'shma is important. Dir de l'shma is important. This is the way it is in a person's avodah. The same thing is true when it comes to the things in this world with which we do a mitzvah. Everything that we do a mitzvah with, that we create a dira for Hashem in this world. So there's two steps in creating a dira. One step is removing things from our own personal possession. In other words, acknowledging that I'm doing something, I'm enjoying things, I have things in this world, not for myself. In other words, removing them from the realm of klipa and klipas naiga. And then there's the second step of inserting it, bringing it in to Rishus HaKdusha, bringing it in to the presence of Hashem. So this would be the Surmeira, would mean removing it from my own property. Asay Toiv would mean we're bringing it into the realm of Kedusha. So according to this, says the Rebbe, this explains to us, going back to the Lishma, where is the Lishma necessary? So the Torah tells us over here, alludes to this idea in the giving and the taking. The person who's giving the Truma, when I'm removing the Truma from somebody's property, in other words, the person is giving up on the truma, the money. We don't care if this kavana. It can be even against the person's will. Why? Because that's the surmira. That's the removing something from my own property. That's surmira. We don't care about your avoida. We don't care about your kavana. We don't care about the lishmi. Only when it comes to the second part, when it enters the presence, the premises, when it enters the domain of the Beis HaMikdash, when the collectors collect and they're actually taking the money, now we care that they should take it lishmi. Because now when we're doing the Asay Toiv, when we're actively bringing something into the realm of Kedusha, now we have to make sure that there's Lashmi. Now, the truth is, we mentioned earlier that the word Truma itself has two interpretations. One interpretation means Hafrasha, which means to set something aside. A second interpretation means to raise it up to a new level. So these two steps in giving Truma are alluded to in these two interpretations. The first interpretation of the word Hafrasha means to set something aside. That means just set it aside, remove it from my own property. That's the first step. That's the Surmira part. Setting it aside from a person's property, from the person's Rishus. The second step of Truma, the second interpretation of Truma, making something holy, that's alluded to in the second interpretation of raising something up and making it higher, which means that's when it enters the domain of Hashem, that's the Asay Toiv. What's the lesson that we learn from this idea? The lesson that we learn from this idea is, what happens if a person finds himself to be in a position of a gizbar? Gizbar are the ones who collected the money for the truma. Somebody finds himself in the position of a gizbar, in a person's avoida, that means that a person is there to influence others and to get others to do a mitzvah also. And over here, a person could say that if I'm here to influence somebody else to do a mitzvah, and the mitzvah that I'm here to influence the other person is the one who's doing the mitzvah. And therefore, who cares what I'm thinking about when I do the mitzvah? Maybe I'm convincing the other person to do a mitzvah because I'm better than him, and I'm smarter than him, and therefore I want to show him that I know more than him. I'm better than him. So in that case, who cares what my intent is? I'm telling the other person to do a mitzvah. My intent is because I'm better than him and I have to show off that I'm better. But who cares what my intent is? The main thing is that he should do the mitzvah. Who cares where my intent lies? So it's true that I have to fix my own, my personal self has to be, I have to work on myself not to feel that way, not to feel better than somebody else, not to want to rebuke somebody else because I'm better than him. But at the end of the day, who cares what my kavanah is? Who cares what my intent is, as long as the thing happens? And here the Torah learns that it doesn't work like that. That when it comes to influencing somebody else, when a person is in a position of a gizbar, when a person is influencing somebody else, when I'm the one who's doing, when I'm the one who's collecting from somebody else, v'yikuli truma, over here the Torah teaches us over here that no, it's doubly important that you should have lashma, that the person's intent needs to be right, that the person can't do it for his own personal, because he likes to do it or because he's smarter than somebody else. A person can't do it for his own personal gain or for his own personal betterment or feeling good. A person has to make sure that he does it only lishmi, only giving, only doing it for the sake of somebody else.